The Lord be with you.
With
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, for that day will catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. So let's get the preliminaries out of the way. Happy New Year.
No, too early.
No, it's Happy New Year. Today is the first day of the church year.
Oh.
This is our New Year's Day. Thank you, saying to you, Happy New Year. And so this year we will be hearing different readings. In fact, today the gospel was from Luke. This is Luke's year, not Mark, as we usually hear. But all the readings still tell the same story. So different readings, but the same story. The story is the story of salvation, the gospel, the good news. And we hear it again every year because we need to hear it again and again. We forget too easily. We don't remember. So we've got to keep hearing the scriptures to remind us of the story of salvation, which is our story. I should say it was written by God for us. So it's God's story and we're celebrating it. So even again, though the readings are different, the story is the same. And really every Catholic should be able to, let's say with maybe 4, 5, 6 phrases, tell anyone what the story of salvation is. It's called the proclamation of the faith. It's called the gospel. It's called the good news. Or in Greek, it's called the kerygma. We're all supposed to be able to talk about it. So I'll just give you a brief way of looking at it. Number one, God created the world. It was good. Adam and Eve were in paradise. They sinned. They were kicked out of paradise. And so sin and death and evil entered the world. That's number one. Number two, God sent the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He sent Moses. He sent the prophets to tell us to get back on the straight way. Didn't work. That's number two. Number three, God said, well, the only way it's going to change is if I become a human being. So here we are preparing for that part of the story where God became a human being, the incarnation, Christmas. So that's the third part, because only God could take care of the situation that we began, the mess that we created. And so through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus brought redemption to the world. He destroyed the power of sin and death. Then the fourth part, and this is really our part, is how do we respond to that story? How do we respond? Do we change our lives because of it? Are we grateful for it? Do we praise God for what God has done? Do we constantly challenge ourselves to be more focused on living the gospel and turning away from all the false gods, the evil, the temptations that continue to plague the world? And they plague the world because of us, because we sin. So God's taking care of the big story. The question is, what is our part within it? What are we doing within it? And there's one word that comes up in the first reading from Jeremiah, which really, in one sense, summarizes the story of salvation. That word is promise. Promise. God promises, and he will fulfill his promises. So if he says, I will bring everybody back from exile to Jerusalem, that's going to happen. And it did. And we are also promised by God that if we are faithful, we will one day be in heaven with God. Now, God's promises are unshakable. They're absolutely trustworthy. If I said to you, I promise if you give me $20,000, I'll give you $40,000 in 2 weeks. Of course, you'll find me on Tahiti with that $20,000. So you really, my promises, maybe you can trust me, maybe you can't. But God, we can trust. What he says will happen. And then constantly through Advent, we're saying things are going to happen. Big things are going to happen. So like in the first reading, it says, in those days, I will bring everybody back. So the Lord's very specific. In those days. Now, he doesn't give a date. But there will be a day or days when the people will be brought back to Jerusalem. And then Jesus also continues that story. And the gospel today is really quite frightening because he's saying, get ready for the Lord to come. He says, some people will be so frightened, they'll die of fright. And he says, that day will assault everyone. That day, when Jesus comes, will assault everyone. That's powerful. But it is a day that's going to happen because we are promised it's going to happen. And what does Jesus say? You know, if you're anxious, frightened, etc., that's not going to do any good. Rather, stand erect. Stand erect and be ready for the Lord's coming, to do what we need to do to be ready for the Lord. And we can be ready for the Lord. A couple weeks ago, I gave a talk that was very challenging. And when I preach, I always preach to myself. And I always challenge myself. So I quoted one of the great patriarchs of the East, John Chrysostom, who said to a congregation one day, most of you will not be saved. Can you imagine hearing that? I think I'd crawl under the chair. Most of you will not be saved. Now, I don't know if he really knew that was going to be true because of the I don't know. But the thing is, we may think I'm a nice person, a good person, therefore why wouldn't I be saved? But there's more to salvation than that. And again, if we want to know what it's all about, it's Jesus. If we look at his life, he did not live the life of comfort and convenience. He didn't own anything. He didn't carry a suitcase around with him. He gave his life for us. If we want to be at least in some way assured that we will reap the promises of God, then we got to get closer and closer and closer to living the life of Jesus Christ. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's everything. So it's not a question. It's not a question like, well, how do I save myself? Or what do I have to do? It's all in the scriptures. It's all in the scriptures, the teachings of the church. So we have those writings. They're right in front of us. But again, the question is, are we ready? So we're preparing during Advent for that first coming of God, Jesus Christ, God the Son, the Incarnation. We could really say that's the beginning of the fulfillment of the promise. But as Jesus says in the gospel, we also have to be ready and looking for the end of the world, when Jesus will come on a cloud of glory. Now, supposedly, we're supposed to say, yeah, come on, hurry up, Lord, hurry up. Because really, if you look at the world, don't we want God to come and clean it up? I mean, the suffering out there. And so we know that only God can do it. However, because we are baptized Christians, because we are sons and daughters of God, we have a lot of authority, a lot of power to make a difference in the world. But that means we got to keep giving up, letting go, sacrificing what kind of puts us in our own little bubble, get out of it, and find out who these people are who are afraid, who are in distress, who are frightened, and to say, this is the good news. This is God's promise, and you can put your money on it. And I'm here to tell you about it, and I'm here to walk along the path with you. That's really what the church is all about. It's not about, you know, building buildings. programs per se, but rather it's loving our neighbor as ourselves. Just as we want to be loved and cared for, we have to love and care for other people, and especially those who don't come into this church, who have no one to be with them, to care for them, or care about them. So we have the beginning of this new year, the season of Advent, to remember the promises of God, to remember that God will fulfill those promises, frightening as they might be, but that we don't have to worry. So I'm just going to give you one little sort of thing maybe to take home for prayer as a way of thinking about the coming. So let's say we knew that the Lord was going to come in glory next Sunday. Okay, very specific day. On that day, the Lord will come in glory. And we know that. What would we do this week that would be different from what we usually do? What might we change in our lives? What might we say, you know, that's not important to me. I don't need that. Why did I buy it? Why didn't I talk to that stranger? Why didn't I help that person who asked for help? I mean, those are the kinds of questions we should be asking. And the more we do that, and the more we separate in our own lives what are true needs, basic needs, and what are simply wants that we're always following and satisfying, the more we're going to pare off all the junk that gets in the way of our being really focused on Jesus Christ and following in his path and ultimately being prepared. Because again, the ideal is this. We should be saying at every moment, come, Lord, come now. Come now, not saying, well, you know, I'm going on vacation next week, so Lord, could you postpone it till after vacation? No, we're supposed to be saying now. Come, Lord, now. Because we know that only God can fulfill our desires and our hopes. He is our desire. He is our hope. Only he can fulfill them. So for the next week, again, during Advent, we're talking about preparation, about the promises of God. What in our lives would we be doing differently if we knew he was coming next Sunday? If we knew it's going to be the end of everything? What would we say? This is a value. I thank you, God. This is not in the time I have left. This is what I want to do. And see what happens. Because when we give ourselves goals, when we look upon Jesus, when we hear what he says, be prepared, the day will assault everyone, we're given a warning, we're given a promise, but we're also given hope. We may not think that's hope, but it is, because the Lord says you can be prepared. That's the good news. You can be prepared. So let's prepare. Let's prepare for the Lord's coming. Let's prepare for the Lord's coming at Christmas. Let's prepare for the Lord's coming at the end of time. And then the in-between coming, where he comes in the faces of strangers and the poor, those people who are outcasts, who have no one to care for them. If we focus on them, we're going to see that there is no good reason to be afraid of that day that's going to assault us. We don't have to die of fright. We can stand erect, and we can say, come, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming.